So we have, we've been discussing the topic of Chas and Avel, right, which inspired all sorts of further investigations, right? So one of the things that we've been trying to figure out is how to understand the Shakla Vatari of the Gemara here. So again, I just want to sum up the three perspectives and talk a little bit more about them, and then we're going to move on to the Shabbos topic, which is on Heyomid Beis. Basically, the Gemara here said that if you have a Chas and Avel, you have a person who's about to get married, and then tragically, the father of the Chas and or the mother of the Kala passes away. So the Gemara says that you do something, you know, pretty radical. That is that machnisim v'sameis lecheder, v'sa chasan v'sa kala lechupa, right? Bol bilas mitzvah uporesh, and then you do the kavura. That's the part the Gemara doesn't say explicitly, but that's implicit. You do the kavura, and then you have shivas yimei mishta and shivas followed by shivas yimei avelus. Certainly an emotional roller coaster, right? Anyways. There's a lot, in this little window in the Gemara to learn about Simcha and about Avelus. I talked about the extremes and the idea that Moshe Tikkun Lehem Shivat Simei Mishta, Moshe Tikkun Lehem Shivat Simei Avelus. I think it's a very profound insight, very important insight, that they say that the highs and the lows are treated in parallel fashion. And if you look at the structure of Avelus and structure of Simcha, we'll see today a little bit part of it, but day one, day three, day first 7 days, the 30 days, the month, the year, as we discussed, these are milestones both for Simcha of Chas and Vekala and for the Avelus of an Avel, and I don't believe that is a coincidence, nor do I believe that Moshe Tikkun is a coincidence. The fact that we blow Chatzotzros in a time of Tzara, and we also blow it in a time of Simcha. The psukim in Parshas in Sefer Bamidbar, which the Rambam counts as one mitzvah, and which the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Taina says, I don't understand how that could be one mitzvah. They're seemingly opposites. I think that the pattern in all of this is very clear. That is, that we're supposed to be remembering the perspective of Avel is important for Simcha. The perspective of Simcha is important for Avel, and more important than both of those points is that the highs and the lows. Basically need to be integrated into our lives in very careful fashion and in a way, in a manner that allows us to really appreciate them and keep perspective about them. And the way we do that is not through a straight linear progression, meaning that you go from a terrible Avel, to less and less and less, or more and more moderate Avel, nor in the other direction. But rather, there are starts and stops, and two steps forward, one step backward, and one step forward, two step backwards in some cases. And, there are different points of intensity, and there's really a very dialectical kind of a process going on. Anyway, that's really what we were trying to discuss. In the context of all of that, we noted that the Gemara seems to be problematic in that there seems to be a choice here between going ahead with the wedding and being bo bilas mitzvah either at the time or at the stage of aninus, which is what the Gemara opts for, or at the stage of Avelus, which the Gemara seems to reject. The Gemara says here, Machnisin is a meis lecheder, if it's a chasim, that's a kala lechupa, and only then do we have the kvura that follows. And the question is, why? So this is the last big issue that we were discussing. There's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in Hilchos Avelus says very clearly that the nihuge Avelus, the dine Avelus, only begin b'shas Avelus, which means at the time, pretty much, of the Kavura. So before the Kavura, the 11 expressions of Avelus do not apply. One of those 11 is the Isur of Tashush Amita, the prohibition of husband and wife being together, and that, according to the Rambam, right, is not a problem, per se, prior to the Kavura. So according to the Rambam, basically, if you accept the Rambam's approach, two things emerge. Number one, structurally, and that is that Avelus Lechud and Aninus Lechud, it's pretty clear that Aninus and Avelus are separate institutions, because the Nihugi Avelus don't apply to Aninus, and most of the Dine Aninus, by the way, you know, the prohibition to eat Maiser Sheni and Kodshim and to be Oved as a Kohen, the Iser of Basar and Yayin, the Ptur of Kriyashma and Tvila and Tvilin and Komitzos Shabbatore, the Ptur of the Iser, Machlokas between Rashi and Tosas, none of these things apply to Avelus. In other words, the Dine Avelus Lechud, the Dine Aninus Lechud, and basically, if that's the case, we can understand our Gemara, which is that you have pretty much a choice, and that is, are you going to push the wedding and the first intimacy at the time of the Aninus right away, or are you going to wait for the Kavura and the Avelus? And the answer is simple for the Rambam. Of course you're going to do it right away at the Aninus, because there's no prohibition. There is a prohibition, Bizman Ha Avelus. Similarly, in the very end of the Gemara in the Avdalot Amid Beis, in the end, trying to explain the following problem, which we discussed, and that is the Gemara says that in this circumstance of a Chasan Avel, what you have is a very unusual conclusion, and that is that you have to separate Chasan and Kala from each other during the Shivas Yimei Avelus, at least. Maybe even during the Shivas Yimei Mishta, after the initial Chuppah and Bias Mitzvah. And the question is why? The normal rule is that once there has been the onset of this physical relationship, we trust the Chasan and Kala, the husband and wife, you know, whether it's Pirsanida or Avelus, whatever the case may be, we trust them, we rely on their self-discipline and the integrity of their commitment to the halacha. So why in this particular case, seemingly, don't we? So the Gemara says on Dalet Amud Beis, in response to this question, the Gemara is an interesting Shakavataria. The Gemara says, Amar, Ravashi Amar, this is 11 lines up from the bottom of the page. Ravashi Amar, Mika Medamis, Avilusa de Hachel, Avilusa de Alma. Are you really comparing this Avelus to a regular Avelus? Avelus the Alma, Chamir, Vilo Asi, Lizalzule Be. A regular Avelus is a regular Avelus, and everybody treats it with the respect that it deserves. But Avelus Tahacha, this particular Avelus, meaning of the Chasan Avel, which is very unusual, Kivanda Kilu Rabbanan, Asi Lizal Zule Be, since we have already made compromises, that's we're treating it very leniently, seemingly, we're making all sorts of inroads in that Avelus, we're therefore concerned that there'll be further trivialization of this Avelus, and therefore we are more machmir, and we don't trust the husband and wife to be together. So again, the Gemara says, my kula, what kula are you referring to that applies in this chasan avel avelus, that is reason then to overcompensate? What are you talking about? So the Gemara says, ile medikatani bo bilas mitzvah paresh, is it the fact that we allow the heter isha labal? Hasa mishum de lochal avelusa, that's because avelus hasn't yet begun, right? Ilu Rabbi Lazar ad sheitz in Pesach Habayis, Ilu Rabbi Yeshua ad sheitz tamagolel, Ela the ketani noik shivus meam ishta bachach shivus meam. It must be not the fact that we have the heter isha labala, but the fact that we allow the shivus meam ishta to take place before the shivus meam avelus, even though the kvura has already taken place. That's the Gemara's answer. Okay, fine. So according to the Rambam, you couldn't have a better reading of the Gemara. Why? Because the question is, what's the Gemara talking about? There's no kula here. The Gemara says, no, there's no kula when we were allowed the husband and wife to be together. There's no kula because it's prior to the Avelus, it's prior to the Kvura. For the Rambam, that line, maybe even one of the sources for the Rambam, basically is saying what? Avelus l'chud, Aninus l'chud. And not just that. Aninus does not have an Iser, Isha, Labala. So when the Gemara says there's no kula at that in that action, they really mean it. There's no kula, meaning there's no violation. We're not being doche anything. There's nothing to be doche. There's no Iser. There's no requirement of, you know, Atifas HaRosh and Kvias HaMita and Nilas HaSandal. and there's no Isser of Shelas Shalom, and there's no Isser of Talmud Torah. You know, all the 11 things that the Rambam counts in Parakei Hilchos Avelus as Nihugei Avelus, none of them start at the time of Aninus. And basically, we can read that that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. There are no Kulas here because there's no Isser. End of story. However, according to the Ramban, Ramban disagrees. Ramban says that while it's true that Kfiyas Amita, Tifas HaRosh, and Ne'ilas HaSandol, those three do not yet apply during the period of Aninus, they only apply during the period of Avelus, and the reason for that may very well be because Lamaisa, practically, they interfere with the focus on Kfiyas Ameis, fine, but nonetheless, says the Ramban, the other eight, including Tashmish Amita, do already begin at the time of Aninus, or Mishas Misa. That's the Ramban's view. So according to the Ramban, we have a double problem. One is, if indeed there's an Isur Tashmish Amita Bisman Aninus, so why does the Gemara think that it's preferable to violate the Aninus than to violate the Avelus? Right? If anything, you might think the opposite, because Aninus is a bitterer period, right? And it's even more Daraisa, with regard to other issues at least, than the Avelus. So how come, if there's an Iser, Tashmish Amita, both during Aninus, already at the time of Aninus, extending into Avelus, why would the Gemara think that you should be more Mekel, right, on the Aninus than the Avelus? Maybe you should say the opposite, or they should be equal. That's question number one. Question number two is, how do you read the end of the Gemara according to the Ramban? Because again, for the Rambam, it's as perfect. The Gemara says, you know, oh, the kula is heter isha labala during Aninus. And then the Gemara answers, that's not a kula, my friend. There's no iser. That only begins at Avelus. But according to the Ramban, that is a kula, because really the iser of Tasha Shamita does begin already at the time of Aninus. So what do you mean that it's not a kula? Ah, so you're going to give the answer and say, that's not what the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say it's not a kula. The Gemara says it's not a kula of Avelus. We're worried about the heter, we're worried about the yichud, right, the being alone during the Avelus. So the Gemara says that we're worried here because we need to overcompensate because we've already been too makel in this Avelus. So the Gemara says, what's the previous kula? The Gemara says, well, during Aninus, we were matir isha labala. So basically the Gemara is saying, yeah, that's fine, but that was during Aninus, that wasn't during Avelus. Now, again, according to the Rambam, as we said, it's perfect, but according to the Ramban, it's far from perfect, because even though technically it is true, it sounds like a very technical, formal, and a kind of a tricky kind of an answer. In other words, if the Isur of Tashmish Amita begins at the Misa, or at the Aninus, and then extends through the end of the period of Avelus, so, you know, right, they're going to stand on ceremony and say, oh, but it wasn't during the Avelus, it was during the Aninus. It still reflects that in this particular episode of Chasan, Onei Novel, it was a kula. Right? So, are we really comfortable with the technical nature of that distinction? Now, in between these two positions, before I get to that, regarding the first question, the Ramban does address it. We read it last week. The Ramban says, listen, either way, you have to be doche something here, because the mitzvah rabbah, it's interesting, of Bia Rishona, of Heter Isha Labala, overrides, or at least neutralizes, the Iser. Why is it that we allow this violation or this overriding to take place, Dafka, at the time of Aninus, and not later during the Avelus, which would be seemingly better, A, because Avelus might be more kal, and B, because it would be more respectful not to delay the Kvura Sameis? So the Ramban basically answers that question by saying, you're missing the point. From the perspective of Tashmish Amita, there's no difference between the Zmanu Aninus and the Zmanu Avelus, according to the Ramban. However, there's another nafkamina, and that's kind of what the Gemara says in the end too. And that is, what comes first? The Shivas Yimei HaAvelus, or the Shivas Yimei HaMishta? We want the Shivas Yimei HaMishta, all things being equal, to come first. That would be much better financially and emotionally, because we just had the chuppah. So what the Gemara is really saying is as follows. From the perspective of Tashmish Amita, there's no difference between Shas Aninus and Shas Avelus. But the second that you do the kavura, you are going to trigger the shivas yemei avelus, and then you're going to have to delay the shivas yemei hamishta. That's why we prefer acting at the time of aninus rather than delaying and acting only after the kavura. That's how the Ramban answers that question. But as for question number two, that remains a little bit tricky. Now the third shita is the shita of the Ritva. The Ritva learns the sugya, as an adherent mostly of the Ramban, right? But he ends up being able to read the Gemara, right, in accordance with the kind of general reading of the Rambam. Okay, by which I mean the following: the Ritva has one chiddush basically, which he doesn't trumpet so much. He kind of just says it, and you know, if you weren't sensitive to it, you might just miss the whole thing and not realize that he says something sensational. Okay, but what he says that is sensational is the following. He says, the Iser Tashm Shamita for an Onain is a function of Misha Mesa Mutalafanav. Or to say it in a way that makes it even clearer, it's not the Misa, right, which triggers the Din of Tashm Shamita or the other Nihugi Avelos Peshas Aninos. It's basically the status of Onain. Or, hopefully I'm not reading too much in the Ritva, but basically there are two dinim of Nihugi Avelus. There's one which results from being an Onain, somebody who has the obligation and the task and the preoccupation and the sense of existential crisis brought about by Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. He's engaged now in Kvuras Anes, and because of that, that's what gives him the shame Onain, which makes Nihuge Avelus, or at least most of them, applicable. Then, Mishas Avelus, after the Kvura, he has Nihuge Avelus, Betoras Avel, not Betoras Onain. So how does this help us? What it helps us with is twofold, both questions. Regarding the first question, says the Ritva, well, he has to have the shame Onain. He has to have the focus of Misha Mesa Mutalafanav, of Kavura Sameis, in order to be an Onain, who is also B'tash B'Shamita. But if we tell him that, you know, now, rather than do Kavura Sameis, he should go ahead and do the Chuppah and Bilas Mitzvah, then he's not an Onain, L'inyan Dvarim Elu. And if he's not an Onain, then he doesn't have any B'tash B'Shamita. So that's why I say, he gets the worldview of the Ramban, mostly, namely, that all things being equal, Nihuge Avelus begin Baninus, but he gets to read the Gemara, he gets out of the Gemara, and to read the Gemara like the Rambam. Because since this individual is not Osek B'Kvuras Ameis, he doesn't have the formal Aninus which triggers Dine Avelus. And that's how he would read, and how he does read, the Maskana of the Gemara too. Because what happened? The Gemara asked the same question. The Gemara said, well, you know, don't we need to overcompensate for the Avelus here because we're Mekel? The Gemara said, what Kula? The Gemara says, oh, the Heter Tash Mishamita. So the Gemara says, no Heter Tash Mishamita, because there's no Iser Tash Mishamita, because there was no Kvura yet. So the way the Ritva reads the Gemara is, there was no Kvura yet, and he's not even Osek B'Kvura, because he's Osek B'Simchas Chasim B'Kal. So the Ritva is perfect. But, in light of the Ritva, what I want to do is suggest a bit of a retrenchment for the Ramban, and before that I wanted to suggest a bit of a modification for the Ramban. Yeah?
Two things. Everybody says that an Onan is pater from mitzvahs. Right?
Yes.
During the period of Aninus. He's pater from all the mitzvahs.
And therefore? 100%. Yeah.
So, and the Ramban suggested there's an element of dichoy here.
What do you mean dichoy?
Yes, bilas mitzvah, doche, the...
Oh, you're asking he should be pater b'mitzvahs
bilas mitzvah? Pater from that mitzvah altogether.
So I think the point is that that's considered to be something that is integral to the chuppah. And therefore, it's not like a regular mitzvah, which is, you know, mutal al karkafta de gavra, you know, he has to put on tefillin, he has to say kriyashma. This is, something that is connected and is part of the definition, the extended definition of the chuppah. But it's a very good question. It highlights that point.
The other question is, we're talking about Basu and Isas, and we're trying to explain the Mishnah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
So
Well, we're not really trying. Here we're not trying to explain the Mishnah so much.
No, but we're we're talking about whether it's the hegemon, the onus.
Right. The onus, bisman onus.
We're talking about a situation of the sulos.
Right.
So after the bia rishona, she's a nidos. Anyway, he's also to approach.
Well, that's a dindrabana. That's a dindrabana. You mean dam besulim? You mean?
So what? So it's also.
Well, you mean the Gemara later on is going to tell you that you know you have 5 days for dafer, 5 nights for dam besulim. I mean that's but these are not that's these already are later dinim. Once bismanenu that we don't know the difference between dam besulim and dam nida, so we are machmer, we treat it like dam nida. But in the earlier days, dam besulim was dam besulim. It wasn't considered to be dam nida. Yeah, there's no psichas akever here either. This is just my sabia. That's not psichas akever. Psichas akever means the makom of dam nida, right? That's a different flow. So, yeah, that's a different issue. Okay. So I just want to make two comments. One, re-examining quickly, very quickly, the Rambam, and the other, re-examining the Ramban very quickly. Till now, and before the Ritva, we have been portraying the Rambam and Ramban as being very opposites. And we've been saying that for the Rambam, have nothing to do with each other, practically. Right? In both the Lekula and Lechomra, they're totally different stages, and there's no overlap whatsoever. And that's a great way to read our Gemara, both on Dalet Omed Aleph and on Dalet Omed Beis. The problem with that is that you have to look at the Rambam himself. We noted this a little bit. And that is the Rambam in Hilchos Avelos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, when he wants to prove that Avelos Yom Rishon of Kavura Umesa, that's the day that he dies, if he's also buried on that day, in other words, on the same day, that's the day of Avelos Daraisa. So the Rambam says something remarkable. Bitzaseh l'sabala krovim shenamar v'achalti chatas hayom ayita b'ene Hashem. Now the pasuk v'achalti chatas hayom ayita b'ene Hashem is a story of Nadav Avihu, right, who died. And, you know, the whole conversation, very hard to figure out, to decipher that conversation, you know, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and the two surviving sons of Aaron, Eliezer and Itamar. So what was going on, you know, in that conversation? Partly what was going on was they were debating the scope of the limitations imposed by being an Onan. Right? And basically the question, when Moshe Rabbeinu criticized and said, well, you should have, done the korban fully. So they said, so he said, v'achalti chatas hayom, you want me to eat the korban chatas? You know, baninus, hayita b'nei Hashem. Is that going to make the Rabbeinu Shalom happy? Right? That's a rhetorical question. Okay? So what's fascinating, and the Nosa Kelim noted, is how come the Rambam, of all people, is quoting aninus psukim, when he's trying to prove that Avelos, Yom Rishon, Yom Shol Yom Miso Kvura, is Doraisa? Isn't the whole theory of the Rambam, based starting from Halacha Beis, that Aninus L'chud and Avelos L'chud?
Did they have Kvura?
That's question number one.
Not about Avelos, did they have Kvura?
Well, that's a different question, but what does that do with anything?
Well, I mean, there wasn't Avelos. I mean, what? No Kvura, the children of the Avelos.
Well, I mean, they took them away. I mean, there was a kind of probably Kvura, but
what was left to take out?
Yeah, but I mean, what was he saying anyway? I mean, this before we even get to that, what I'm asking is more basic, which is the pasuk v'chalti chatas hayom ayita b'nei Hashem is achilas basar kodshim ayde onein is asur. What's that have to do with? What does that have to do with? What does that have to do with avelus?
Whatever was done to non-Babylon.
I'm saying even if there was, let's assume for the moment that whatever they did, you know, they carried them out. In a certain way. Yeah. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about it. Let's assume it was classical Kavura and Avelos. Let's assume it was. So what does this Pasuk have to do with anything? This Pasuk is about why they couldn't eat the Korban Chatas.
Right.
What's that?
After the Misa.
Bishas Aninus.
Bishas Avelos too.
Bishas Aninus, before the Kavura. This is before the Kavura. So what's going on? Now, that's question number one. There's another question, and that is, the Rambam would say for mitzvos, when he tries to characterize the din of avelos, right, emphasizes the requirement of tumas kohanim, that a kohen is supposed to be mistameh to a mace. The whole piece in Sefer Mitzvos emphasizes that point, and the Rambam himself in Hilchos Avelos, if you look on page 2, I think it's page 2, mine is page 2, Hilchos Avel, Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. Is that page 2?
Yeah, 29.
Oh, no, number 29? Yeah, I don't have my number 1. But
page 1.
So the Rambam says as follows. Mi shemeso muta lefanav. Right? Ocha b'bayis acher. He eats in a different house. Ein l'bayis acher osa mechitza v'yocha. Ein lo davar lasas mechitza machzir panav v'yocha. This is all based on the sugyan brachos in the third parak. Benkach u'benkach einu mesa v'yocha v'locha basar v'locha sayayin v'einu mevarech v'einu mezamein v'ein mevarchin. Oh, am I reading the wrong thing? One second. One second.
I think you went page 1, line
30. Oh, 1 second. No. I have the wrong. Oh, no. You're right. I want to go Perek Dalid. But, oh, I was doing Zion just now. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. The bottom of page 1? Is that it? Okay, you're right. Kama Chamura Mitzvah Avelos. How severe, right? How chamur, how stringent is mitzvah avelos? Shari nidchelo atuma mipnei krovav. Right, even though a kohen is not allowed to be mistame, but if it's a mace and it's one of his krovim, so that takes priority. Kadeshi yisase kimo im biyisab lale. Shenamar ki im l'shero akarove love. Limo v'gomer lo yitama mitzvah sase shem lo rotzo yitama mitaminos al karcho. If he doesn't want to, he says, "Listen, I'm so holy, I've never been tame in my life." Whatever it is, right? We force him. Wow. B'medvar mamurim b'scharim shehuzer al atuma, avol kohanos hov enam mizor al atuma kain enon mitzuvos lehis tame. They have no obligation. Zeh mipnei zeh. Okay, the Ravid, the Chene Shlomar, the Tefillin, fine, whatever it is. Oh, am I skipping something? In the Tefillin Mistame, sorry, Lekrovim. Elim Ratzu Mistamos and Lav Lo Mitamos. The Ravid says, Omer Ram Kasha, Hanatani Ishta Arusa Lo Onim Lo Mitamala, Chene Hilo Nenis Lo Mitamala, Onesu Mitamala. Okay, the Rambam really presents us with two problems. Number one. Kama chamura mitzvah avelus, and in Sefer Mitzvahs it sounds like the main source for avelus d'oraisa is the obligation of a kohen to be mistame l'krov. If you look at Perek Aleph Hilchos Avel and the Nos HaKelim, the Kesem Mishnah, the Radvaz, the Lechem Mishnah, they have, you know, like a field day with all this. They just don't understand how to fit in. You know, what the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Avelos with what he writes here in Perek Beis, with Perek Dalet, rather, Halacha Vav. And they just don't understand why in Sefer Mitzvos he has this emphasis. That's number one. Number two is the question that the Ravid hints at and others make more explicit, and that is, if I told you that either you could force a kohen to be mistame in the context of avelos over his krovim, or a kohenes, right? Which one would you think you'd be able to force? So I venture to say that, you know, most people would say the kohenes, because she has no prohibition to be mistame lebeis. Right, it's a bnei Aaron haKohen v'lo bnos Aaron haKohen. Right, emar lekohanim bnei Aaron lenefesh lo yitama. Right, so female kohanos, right, do not have the prohibition to be mistames lemes. So, if I said to you, you know, what's more egregious, right, the kohen who refuses to be mistame lemes, Or the Kohenes who refuses to be Mistames Lemes. Hope I said that right. So, which is, the answer probably everybody would say is the Kohenes, because there's no counter pressure. We can understand where the Kohen is coming from. He doesn't want to be Mistames Lemes, right? We have a couple of Kohenim here. Anyway, I know we have one Kohen.
So, that's only speaking about the daughter of a Kohen, not the wife of a Kohen.
No, I'm talking about the daughter, right? Everybody understands the question. But the Rambam says the opposite. Rambam says if a Kohen doesn't want to be Mistame, Lemeis, we force him to. And part of the din, part of the mitzvah of Avelus, is for a Kohen to be Mistame Lemeis Lekrova. But a female Kohen, right, does not have to be Mistameis Lemeis. So the question is why? That seems counterintuitive.
It's very straightforward with the pasuk.
What?
The Rambam is very straightforward.
The pasuk says maybe you could, because the pasuk needs to be mechadish that you could because there is a counter pressure. Correct. But what the Rambam is saying, what Rambam's being mechadish is that in the case of Kohen, you must, right, and in the case of Kohenes, where there's no problem, it's up to you.
He takes it as an imperative.
I understand, but what, the question is, what's going on? Why? Why? Right? There's no counter pressure. In one case, there's no counter pressure, and in the other case, there is counter pressure. Right? I mean, it's ingrained into Kohen, and you'll tell me if this is not correct, but I mean, you know, it's like, I'm guessing, I'm not a Kohen, but, you know, just thinking about it, you know, it's, you know, Kohen to Mistame Lemeis is like, it's a nightmare, right? So what's going on? So I think that there are two points here, and this is really both of these points are made by the Rav Zatzal. The first one, let's do achat achat, one at a time. The first point is that even though according to the Rambam, aninus l'chud and avelus l'chud, when it comes to nihugei avelus, it doesn't mean, that's what I mean about a modification of both shitos. It doesn't mean that there is no connection or no continuity between aninus and avelus. In a way, aninus is the shoresh, it's the root and the anchor of avelus as well. In other words, there is a huge transition, according to the Rambam, in the way that we express avelus. But the important thing to remember is that avelus is a way of expressing a kiyum shebelev of tsar and avel. And basically what avelus is expressing in a very demonstrative, you know, physical way is an aspect or a dimension of aninus. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says rather, in Sanhedrin, and the Rambam quotes it here as well, if you look here, I'm guessing on page 1, second. Halacha Tes. Kol haruge malchus, af api shenergu bedin ha-melech, va-tor nosna lo reshus lahargan. Everybody have that? Hare elu mis'ablim aleihem vein monim ehem kol davar. U'mamonim le-melech, v'nikmarim b'kivri avoseihem, etc. Aval kol haruge bezdin, ein misablim aleim aval onanin, she'ein aninus ela belev. Wow. Meaning, there are two types of Jewish capital punishment. One is dinei melech, and the other is dinei bezdin. So the political capital punishment, right, which is legal, I mean, the melech has that right to take a life, but it doesn't necessarily reflect, right, a level of, a halachically unacceptable behavior that is, inconsistent with the proper kavura. So haruge malchus are not only misonanim, but misablim aleim. But haruge bezdin, Right, if the Bezdin, because of your violations purely of halacha, right, justify your being put to death, so then there's no avelus. However, the Rambam passes the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. That's ein nesablam ablam, but there is aninus, and the reason there's aninus is because ein aninus ella belave. Aninus is a state of mind. It's not a reflection of kavod ames, or even a physical way of stirring the emotions. It's just the actual emotion itself. You don't have to suppress it, even though the person who died is not necessarily deserving of your halachic admiration, right? You're not allowed to physically, demonstratively express avelus for him, but you're allowed to feel it. You don't have to try to neutralize that feeling, the intensity of the feeling. This is just a way of highlighting again that the vacharisa kiyom mar. When we speak of aninus, we're talking about a certain intense sense of loss and bitterness and hopelessness.
Would this mean, according to the Rambam, that you would be that a kohen would not be mistamei, and you would be eating basa v'yayin?
Because even according to in Aruge Bezdin.
Yeah,
I think so.
Pardon?
Yeah?
Because even according to the Rambam, there aren't Yehugei.
Oh, you mean because there's no Kechi of Kvura, you're saying? Well, it depends what depends. I understand. I didn't understand what you mean. There's a machlokas we've shown him whether the din of Dine Aninus, I mean, according to the Ritva we spoke of, very possibly, but there's a story, I don't know if we talked about it last week, I don't remember or not, but Rabbeinu Tam, in Tosin Brachos, I think I mentioned, when his sister died, so that he was in a different city, she had a husband, there was somebody who was being metapel b'kvura sameis. Even then he ate basar v'yayin, and so on. But the view of the Ramban, as we'll see, and the Ra'ah, and others, is that this is a din in the existential state of aninus, not so much a din in actual for us people, but for us made. So this would be an interesting open question. What do we mean? Because there is aninus belave, but there's no right. It would be an interesting taste. I'm not sure if we have enough data to know what they hold in this case. But I'm not sure. I'm sure the Achronim speak about it. I just don't remember. But absolutely, this it depends on these issues. Okay. Now, so if this is the case, we understand a little better why. The Rambam quotes the pasuk of v'chal techatas hayama yitav b'ini Hashem in Parakav Halach Aleph Halach Aleph, because what the Rambam there is trying to show is that avelus yom rishon yom miso kavura is doraisa. What he's trying to say is the reason that it's doraisa is because it taps in to the kiyum b'leva v'achrisa ki yomar. Right, of aninus belave. Oh. But if that's the case, then you can also understand the Sefer HaMitzvos and what he's doing in Perek Beis, Halacha Vav. And that is what the Rambam is really telling us, is that what looks in Avelus like either Chiyuvim or Isurim are really Kiyumim. Okay. By which we mean that it's not that an Avel is not allowed to do certain things. I mean, he's not, but we shouldn't look at it as the equivalent of what's almost like the lavin for an avel, right? He's not allowed to sit high. He's not allowed to, uncover his head. He's not allowed to say hello to people. He's not allowed to go out to work. He's not allowed to learn Torah. Instead of looking at these as prohibitions, the best way to look at them are expressions, kiyumim, of avelus. These are the concrete, external manifestations, right, of an inner state of sadness and even of crisis, basically. So that is how the Rav used to explain Perek Beis Halacha Vav and Sefer Mitzvot. What he was trying to explain was that if you're a Kohen, right, we said before, so you have this, you're brought up, I imagine, from your youngest Kohen days. You'll contradict me if I'm wrong, but, you can't be Matame Lemeis, right? It's like, you're mortified even think about it. There's like a... So Dafka, because of that, you have to be Matame Lemeis for your Krovim, who for whom you are being Misabel. It's an expression of the depth of your feeling and the crisis that you're enduring. For a Kohenes, right, there's no significance of being she's not prohibited to be Mistames Lemes. So therefore being Mistames Lemes is not a kiyum either. Right? It's only a demonstrative expression of your sadness and your mourning if there's counter pressure. Right? You do things that you know otherwise are irrational or antithetical to who you are and what your life is normally about. But this isn't a normal moment. This is a suspension of your real life and a paralysis, and therefore another contrary. It's even more than that. What's the whole idea of why a Kohen is not Mistame Lemes? Right? It's because Misa is a stira to Kedushas Kahuna in a way, right? And that's exactly the point. That even a Kohen, just maybe not a Kohen Gadol, right? His Kahuna, is stops in its motion, when it comes to avails. That's the ultimate expression. But Kohenes, precisely because she doesn't have that meaning for her, it's not a kiyum either.
But is a woman obligated to engage in...
Yes. In other kiyume avelus, yes.
No, in kiyume aninus. Does she have to be engaged in the kavura?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, that men, women, same thing. Okay, so that is the Rambam Shita. So what I'd like to add for the Rambam then is, so instead of thinking that Aninus L'chud and Avelus L'chud, what we should be thinking instead is that Aninus is at root also of Avelus, but that there are stages of transition. Meaning Ein Adoma, the Aninus state needs to be a state which is purely belave. And then, or maybe because of the distraction of Kavura, or because that's enough of a demonstration, or maybe just because, as long as there is a physical body out there, the Aninus Belave, can stand on its own. Or maybe it's because the intensity of that initial phase, per se. Well, there can be various explanations. The transition to Avelus demands a different approach, one which is more physically demonstrative, right, which expresses itself concretely. But the idea is that it's a transition still in manifesting Aninus Belev. And that's the idea. Similarly, what do we say for the Ramban? We said that the Ramban holds that 8 out of the 11 Nihugei Avelus already begin on Aninus, right? And one would have thought that the Pshat is that the Misa is Koveya, unlike the Ritva who says the Aninus is Koveya, right? And therefore, maybe there's a dilution of Avelus when you get to the next stage. Again, the Ramban, unlike the Rambam, does not think that stage number one doesn't have concrete expressions, that somehow either they're not necessary or they distract from the pure Aninus Belev. The Ramban doesn't think that that is correct. However, we should ask ourselves, does the Ramban really think that Aninus is basically the beginning of Avelus? They're actually the same, and the only difference is the pragmatic need for Kfura Sameis, is something which affects Atifa Sarosh, Kfiya Samita, and Yilas Asandal. But as far as everything else is concerned, the Misa is Koveya, and the Avelus and Aninus are identical? Should we go that far? In which case, we have a lot of trouble with the maskan of our Gemara, because the Gemara made this, the Gemara said, oh, there's no kula and avelus here, it's a kula and aninus. Fine, technically true, but only technically true, right? Ah, but if we could try to demonstrate that even according to the Ramban, it's true that there are concrete expressions of merirus belev of avelus already in aninus. That's true, but that doesn't mean that the Ramban doesn't accept one of the points of the Rambam and of the Ritva, and that is that while there might be overlap and there might be physical expressions of it, still the existential state of Aninus is different than the state of Avelus. It's just different. It's a later stage. It's a different stage. It could be you know, partially more moderate and also partially more extreme, because there's no longer Asik Bekfura Sameis and certain things have hit home and so on and so forth. Oh. So here I just want to point out that the Ramban himself does seem to have a much more nuanced view than what we previously had read. If you look at the Ramban, I'm not sure if I put these things here. Number one, look at the first section of Torah Sa'adam that I have here. Ani Tema, says Ramban. Heich lamdu ha-ga'onim avelus midin aninus. As we discussed, the view of the Gaonim and the Rambam is that the first day of Avelus, if it's also the day of Kvura, is Doraisa. Right? Okay. So the Ramban says, I don't understand that at all. How could that be? It's derived from what? From Aninus, like we were asking in the Rambam. So the Ramban says, I don't get it. Anitema, heich lamdu ha-ga'onim Avelus midin Aninus. How can you learn Avelus from Aninus? Hallo, zmano sholze, lo zmano sholze. Those are very crucial words. Meaning aninus l'chud and avelus l'chud. Almost sounds like the Rambam speaking. Now, the truth is, I want to be, perfectly candid here. The Ramban here is weighing the question whether or not avelus yom kivur misa is d'orais or not. And he's, at the moment, devil's advocate taking the position of Balei Tosfos, who think that all of Avelus is Drabana, even the first day of Kvura Misa. In the end, the Ramban seems to adopt the Rambam and Gaonim view. So one could theoretically say that this Anitema and this statement, oh, Aninus L'chud, Avelus L'chud, that's all part of the devil's advocacy of Tosfos, which he doesn't accept, L'maskan. But, you know, having been perfectly clear about that, I will say that there's no hint in the Ramban that the sensibility of his question, you know, is contingent upon holding like Tosfos or holding like the Rambam. It sounds like he's asking an objective question, and that is, how do you get Avelus Daraisa from Aninus if Aninus L'chud and Avelus is L'chud? And that's interesting, given that the Ramban holds that Nihuge Avelus begin Mishas Aninus. Then we'll go on a little bit further. The Ramban says, Mesa Mutalefanav Onein Dvar Torah. V'ze ikar aninus, u'ba'osos man enu misabel, lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei Sofrim. Nikbar misabel alav, v'heich tola agonim atzman b'ze shakosav acharisa ki omar l'inyan avelos, hari shemes b'yom risha v'nikbar b'yom sheni, hari kan aninus d'var Torah v'acharisa ki omar, v'en kan avelos kal al midivreim, heich nilmod ze mize. Now again, in the end, he may qualify that somewhat, and the question is this only according to the view that he doesn't accept, or is it still partially true? Okay, the next question is also interesting, but we're going to leave that for now. The Ramban, in the next piece, which mostly we did read, begins by saying that Dine Avelus apply already by Ninus, with the exception of Kfias Amita, Ni'ilas HaSandal, and Atifas HaRosh, and that the reason that they are different is because they would impede the actual Kavura. But then he goes on and says, look at the second paragraph of the next piece, that's the bottom of the page one, the Chein Nira Od, She'ikar Avelus Minat Torah, Eino Ela Be'idonin. The main din is another important yesod of the Ramban. The main din of Avelus refers to the Idonin. What are Idonin? What's a good translation?
Pleasure.
Pleasures, but, you know, like kind of like excessive pleasures, you know, gratuitous pleasures. You know what I mean? What?
Hedonism.
Not exactly. Hedonism is a stronger, pure pleasure kind of thing, but okay. Yeah. You know, anyways, kigon, rechitza, right? The things that give you pleasure. Rechitza, sicha, tashmish shamita, right? Simcha, and tfilin shehem pe'er, that's on physical pleasure, but it's idonin, right? Tichboses, tispores, the simchahem. Ve'avelus, kishma, right? As the name implies, says the Ramban, Shlo yisasek bedvarim shel simcha, ela bedvarim shel avelos. Zehu aninus shabalev, shemimenu lomdu shlo yisasek bedvarim shel simcha. The idea is that the ikar dini avelos are stira with aninus because they too are about belave, basically. And they're simcha belave, and that's a stira with tsar belave, and therefore one cannot abide the other. Aval mino v'sando v'yatifa eina mina Torah shlo amra Torah la'anos u'letzayr nafsho minoeg shel kol ha'olam. There's a fine line between abstaining from excessive or gratuitous pleasures, right, and putting yourself through, inflicting upon yourself discomfort, right, never mind pain. That's a fine line. You have to figure that out. That's why, by the way, you know, the an istinus, right, somebody who's very finicky, what's a good translation for istinus?
Sensitive.
Oversensitive or finicky or something like that. An istinus, right, has different dinei avelos. Why is that? What is it, an istinus is patur min hamitzvos, or it's mutter from to do isurin? The answer is because one man's idonin is another man's tsar, right? Or I should say, you know, every man's idonin is an istinus's tsar. But we understand that. So again, it's not just, you know, it has to be also objectively, you know, grounded. You know, in other words, it has to be somebody, you know, who typically, you know, there's a pattern to his behavior, right? He is really oversensitive, and he really is finicky in this kind of a way. You know, there's certain things that he can't tolerate what most people can tolerate. Just like, you know, some people have, you know, skin sensitivity, you know, that they can't tolerate certain things, I mean, physically. Right? There are people who, you know, we know people. There are some people for whom, you know, abstaining from, you know, from certain pleasures or you know, idonin, really is constitutes a tsar. I mean, it's very real. Now, the reason that that is the case is because with this very important ha'ara of the Ramban, which is avelus is not about tsar, right? Avelus is about restraining from simcha and idonin. Oh, anyways, aval mina son of atipa imina Torah shleom ratorah lehem sul tsar nafsho minagash miminagash shalolam v'fikach ikilu be'elu ad she'ikaver v'hu atam be'atzmo l'mash amru. The truth is that the previously the Ramban, the line that I skipped, what the Ramban said, I don't understand how anybody can think that avelus yom miso kvuras daraisa. How could it be? The Gemara says that if you're an avel, even yom rishon, it seems that if you're going on a trip or if you're traveling far or you're, you know, going on the highway, that you're allowed to wear leather shoes. So the Ramban says, that's the line that he asked earlier, he said, if it's Doraisa, how can there be an exception? But now he's kind of telling you why that could be. And that is because there's a certain subjective, you know, element, you know, in all of this as well. Namely, you're supposed to demonstrate your avelus by restraining or refraining or abstaining from idonin, right? And midrabanan maybe, or on another level, an avelus beyond aninus, you're also supposed to inflict a little bit more of a hardship, maybe not tsar, but, you know, not pain, but, you know, hardship on yourself. However, you know, again, at a certain point, if you're walking for long distances and you're walking, you know, without shoes, that's not just a discomfort or an abstaining from pleasure, right? That becomes really inflicting physical pain. Right, so the subjective element or the context matters even for the daraisa of aninus and avelus. So what's fascinating is the Ramban also goes on to say, I don't think I might have this part also. Second. Okay, a little bit. Three lines from the bottom. Upneshu torid bekfuras ameis she'ein libo b'aveluso lo monu shivu shloshim ele mishasti masagolel. Va'od sher el karcham hitiru b'mitzas dini avelus ad she'ikavar m'bnei tzarcho shomeis. Kamosha Pirashnu. Ve'ena bedin she'imana ele mishah she'noi mekulan. What's he asking? Ramban Lishitaso asked an interesting question. He said, how come the Shiva doesn't start from the Misa and from the Aninus? Why does it only start from the Avelus, from the Kvura? Right? Now the Rambam would never have asked such a question, because the Nihuge Avelus don't begin till the Kvura. But according to the Ramban, that 8 out of 11, you know, begin Mishas Misa, Mishas Aninus. So maybe you should start the Shiva at the Aninus? No.
Well,
not usually. I mean,
not usually. You don't marry a guy for a week. That's what you want to know.
Okay. I mean, but if it doesn't have anything to do with the, I mean, so if you want to make a stipulation, I mean, how many times is the kafura when you know about it? It's not going to be more than a week. I mean, but the point is that so the Ramban ends up saying, because you know Aninus and Avelus are a little different, and the fact that it's the three aren't included shows you that. As well. Then the Inami is, oh, we want the full complement. But the first end, what I'm trying to show is that very subtly, the Ramban is a very fertile thinker. In other words, the Ramban is somebody who opens windows sometimes into his own thought processes. In his Perush al HaTorah, in Milchamos, in the Chidushim, this is Torah Sa'adam is a magnificent. You know, it's more than an essay because it's much bigger than an essay. You know, it's basically a treatment of the whole topic. And the Ramban, you know, as I say, opens up windows into his thinking. We can see the Ramban struggling with the question, given his conviction that Nihuge Avelus apply already Mishas Aninus, to what extent is really they're just a linear, you know, everything begins Mishas Misa and Aninus, or we're still going to say Aninus L'chud and Avelus L'chud. But the Ramban certainly seems to be open to the idea that while there's overlap, there's still Aninus L'chud and Avelus L'chud, just like the Rambam was a little more open to the idea that even though Aninus L'chud and Avelus L'chud, there's a certain amount of Avelus, you know, which is rooted in and anchored in Aninus. So therefore, just trying to suggest that maybe that's a little bit of an opening for the Ramban in the Maskana of the Gemara as well. Namely, it's true that Dine Avelus, including Tashmish Amita, begin already Mishas Misa and apply to the Aninus as well as to the Avelus. That is true. That's a fact. However, the idea, like the Ritva, although not as sharply, that the Avelus Shel Aninus and the Avelus Shel Avelus, if you will, are still two different phases, is something which is actually very consistent with other things that the Ramban is reflecting on in Torah Sa'adim. Yeah?
When the Ramban says that the Iker of Aninus is Misha Mesa Muta Lefano, what is he saying if someone doesn't have Mesa Muta Lefano?
Right, so we...
Is he not an Onet?
So again, this goes back to those other questions we were discussing, which is, according to the Ritva, the answer is for Dine Avelus of Aninus, he's not. That's the Ritva's idea. The Ritva says, if you are seemingly an Onain, but there's a reason that you're not being Osik, legal reason, not practical reasons necessarily. I don't know what would the Ritva say about Rabbeinu Tam's sister. I suspect he wouldn't be sympathetic. I don't mean he wouldn't be sympathetic, you know, to the sister. What I mean is, I don't think he would buy into Rabbeinu Tam's idea that it depends pretty much practically whether you're involved in Kfuras Ameis. But what the Ritva does say is, if you're not mechuyev b'Kfuras Ameis, because of some other halachic focus right now, like marriage, then you don't have a shame onain in the Avelus of Aninus. That's what the Ritva says. Now, what will the Ramban say?
Is he not an onain or another?
Correct. Meaning the Dine Avelus, which normally begin in 90% of the cases, Mishas, Aninus, for the Ritva, are suspended until after the Kvura in this particular case. They don't apply to Aninus. Now, once you're an Avel, they'll apply, because that's Petaris Avelus. Now, the Ramban doesn't go that far. Otherwise, these would be easier. But the Ramban does seem to be saying that the perspective, even in Avelus, of Aninus, is different than the perspective of Avelus of Avelus. And that Aninus and Avelus are not the same. It's not just that, you know, it begins Mishas Aninus for anything that doesn't distract you from Kavuras Aves. That doesn't seem to be the Ramban's dominant position. Ramban seems to be considering the possibility moving towards that Ritva, just not as far as the Ritva, and that is that the Dine Avelus Sheba Aninus are still special to the stage of Aninus. And what this means for us, as I say, it's a reinforcement of what we were saying before, which is as much as there's overlap, you know, we're talking about a man who's coming to, or a woman, doesn't make a difference, coming to grips with a terrible loss, an irrevocable loss in their life. So the idea that the different stages, right, are going to be treated differently, emotionally, right, and therefore in the halacha's, you know, requirements, is very reasonable, very sophisticated. Like in modern psychology, you know, this is like a big theme now, you know, that, you know, there are stages, that everything isn't, you know, linear. You know, sometimes, you know, a time later, you're hit harder with certain things, holiday times, right? And so the idea that, you know, it's therapeutic to be involved in Kfuras Ameis in one sense, right? It's the most devastating, and it's also a little bit therapeutic. And then Mishas, at the time of the Kavura, after the Kavura, you know, it's the beginning of the healing, and then there's further suffering and even new, fresh wounds, you know, to assimilate, because now you're not Osek Bekfura, and there is no goof anymore, or accessible goof anymore. You know what I'm saying? So this, the idea behind, whether it's the Ritva, the Ramban, or the Rambam, each in their own way, you know, that Aninus and Avelus isn't just for the pragmatic differences, but they're also different emotional stages, you know, is I think, something that clearly emerges. Yeah?
If Tefillin is one of the Donim, why is the distinction between Aninus and Avelus?
Say again?
If Tefillin is one of the Donim, according to Ramban.
Well, Tefillin is interesting because...
I don't really say Pe'er because of it, but, yeah. But according to...
Well, I think it's a different kind of an Edonin, and it's Yom Rishon. I mean, the din of Avelus, the din of Tefillin, is that the Yom Rishon of the Avelus, even after the Aninus, is that there's no Tefillin, because it's more of a spiritual Edonin, obviously, than a physical Edonin.
Why wouldn't
I
continue through the whole Shiva?
He said what?
I'm saying because it's not a physical thing. It's more of a spiritual thing. So again, it has to do with when I said before that like we'll see in a moment, like you know, Chosin Bakala, right? There are, all the stages are significant. So I talked about 1, 3, you know, 7, 30, 12 months. Part of the one, there are two things in the one. One is Yom Miso Kvura, you know, being Daraisa, that's according to those shitas. The other one is Tefillin, Perech HaKavosh Alecha. You can't divorce it from Perech HaKavosh Alecha. It's his take on Perech HaKavosh Alecha. I guess that, you know, in the immediate aftermath is particularly, you know, Bechlali Donin. And then once you settle back into the Shigra, Aninus is no mitzvahs. So that's kind of a continuation. Ramban himself says it's kind of a continuation of that. And then once you're doing other mitzvahs anyway, so, you know, it loses a bit of its edge. That's what I'm guessing is happening. But that's the one. You know, that's the second one of the one. The three, as you may be, is Bechi. Right? The Gimel of Bechi. Yeah.
The Ramban seems to be bothered also by Shlomo's question, because it adds with Tefillin Shehin Pe'er, which seems to be a superfluous thing. It's not obviously that it's a Edonin.
No. I think the Kiddush here, and I think that's what I was asking also, is that the Ramban's a bit of a Kiddush, they call it Edonin. The Gemara says, Perech HaKavosh Alecha, that the Ramban is thinking that Pe'er is Edonin, is kind of very, so very inspirational too, meaning the Torah calls it Pe'er, that makes it an emotional Edonin, right? But for, I guess for an ish halacha, you know, it does. But so the Rambam says pe'er.
The Ramban here.
Yeah, I'm saying that anybody says pe'er, we understand.
Yeah, no,
that
no,
they
no.
also call it idonit, because the Gemara says pe'er chachav.
Right, right, no, I'm saying that if he would have just meant that idonim, that tefillin is obviously idonim.
Oh, be without.
He wouldn't have
right. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's idonim betoras pe'er.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it just loses, once you're doing other mitzvos, that loses kind of its. Okay, yeah.
Cohen is Matame, and the kind of Israel, while you Tama, went in to him to force him to be here. So why does he need a bracha?
Why doesn't he?
Yeah.
You want him to make a bracha too?
Why not? Make a bracha bracha dynamis. We make a bracha on Kishish Bracha Matoka.
If you found a bracha, then I'd be.
It's a mitzvah, say in the Torah, Yitama, why is there a.
Milah Yitama.
Right,
it's a chiyuv. It doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. It's a din in avelus. I mean, what the Rambam is saying is, well, you know, I'll highlight it this way for you. The Lechem Mishnah, I think the Lechem Mishnah.
But the
Lechem Mishnah, yeah, but the Lechem Mishnah and the Radvaz, I think, ask, you know, just because it's a chiyuv l'tami l'meis, what does that have to do with avelus? Ha'ilchu de'kayv, there's a mitzvah avelus and there's a mitzvah l'tami l'meis. Krova. But the answer is for the Rambam, it's not two different things. The reason that there's a mitzvah li tami lemeis, you know, is because of avelus. That's exactly the point of the Rambam. Maybe it's a question to ask for the Lechem Mishnah and the Radvaz, because they thought it was separate. Maybe it should be a separate bracha. But yeah.
So for tami lemeis, when do we do this rika on shlishi and shvi'i, so he doesn't lose any time off of work?
When do we do what?
We got to tire him afterwards, right? He became Tomei Tinas Mishnah to the mace.
Okay.
So we got to do Sarika. So we do it on Shlishi and Shvi during his Shiva, at which point he doesn't lose any time from work and goes right back to work afterwards. Or do we
I guess it depends on who his boss is.
Wait till after the other
day. It might be one of the 26 weeks that he's not on. 25 weeks, that he's not on.
I guess the pilpula charifta here is going.
Yeah, yeah,
this
is,
okay.
It is noteworthy in Shulchan Aruch, the first halacha on Hilchos Avelos is this case of Chasan Abba.
Yeah.
That's in Shulchan Aruch. That's how he opens.
I think because it tests
the conflict.
These things and the conflict and.
Balance.
Again, Moshe Tikein, you know, Zayin Yimei Mishnah, Zayin Mokas, it's a good hara. Yeah. I was saying before, like, why did the Rambam, you know, at first of all, he doesn't usually bring those kind of things. And even if he would, but why bring the Mishnah part? Right? It is Yerushalmi, but, like, so what? Or you know, to bring the other part in Hilchos, you know, Isha's Parakyot. But I think that's part of the point. Is exactly to make this hard. Anyways, similarly, so this gets asked. Let me just. I thought we were going to start the new topic. We'll start the new topic next week. But so just you know, there's a huge debate among the Rishonim here. They all just ask if you hold like the Rambam and the Gaonim that Yomiso Kvura Zaraisa. So they ask. How could it be that Shiva Simei Hamishta, which is Drabanan, should be Docha Avelus Daraisa? Right? Because what happened? You did the Kvura, right? Remember what happened here? You did. You were Machnas Sameis Lecheder. You were Machnas Sakasim Nasakala Lechopa. You were Bol Bilas Mitzvah Uporesh. Then you did the Kvura. Then you're doing Shivas Me Mishta. And then you're doing Shivas Me Avelus. But once you did the Kvura, so Yom Kvura Misa is Avelus Araisa. So you're going to do Shiva Simei Avelus before, Shiva Simei Mishta, before you're going to do the Avelus. At least the first day, which is Daraisa, that should have trumped Shiva Simei Mishta, right?
Shiva Simei Mishta Midaraisa?
Ah.
No.
So, very good. So, the it says Moshe Tikkun, you know, Shiva Simei Avelus, Moshe Tikkun, and Shiva Simei Mishta. Right, that's Yerushalmi that the Rambam is quoting. So the Rush here quotes this, and he quotes the position of the Yad Rama, who says that just like the first day of Avelus, Miso Kvura Zoraisa, so too the first day of Shiva Simei Mishnah Zoraisa. Yom Simchas Libchem,
Only the first day?
Sorry. Only the first day. This is, why can't I find it? Here, one second. It is... one second. Oh, look here on page 228, right, column 2, Simon Hay. That's what he's asking. The Osi Ase Doraisa Vidoch Ase Drabanan. Hakanami Naho, you know, Gavelus Biom Rishon, the Shivas Memisha Drabanan name. Right? Everybody have it? The Herachti Bedover Bibrochos Perikaikori, but Rabbi Meir Alevi, that's the Yad Ramah, Kosav the Yom Rishon Shall Simchas Kosan Abdoraisa, the Ksiv Biom Chasunaso, Ubiom Simchas Libo. Alma the Simchas Libo Biom Rishon Yeshlo Smach Minatora. The Yeshomrim, yeah, it's a pasuk in Shir Shirim, but does it refer really to the Chosin and the Kalas Shivas Me'amishta? It just says it means it shows a chalos. Basically, it's a fascinating limud, meaning all it just shows is Yom Simcha. That's called Yom Simcha Slibo. So they're assuming that that Simcha is not just something he happens to feel, but halachically, you know, it establishes a Yom. Of which is a Yom Simcha Doraisa. The Yeshomrim, the Lo Olal Dasa Gaon, Lomar Davelus Yom Rishon Av Doraisa, the Lo Ashkechon Shuma Velus Minatar, Ela Ninus, Liyasar Bekod Shuma Maiser Shein. Right, the other possibility is that all of Avelus is Drabana. Ela Das Gaon, Lefisha Avelus Yeshel Ramos Vachritza Kiyomar, the Yom Tavachrin Elamil Kedisa. Okay, fine. There is another answer to this question. Right, so you could say everything is Rabbana. Some Rishonim gave a different answer. They said, oh, we're talking about a situation where he's going to wait over, so it won't be Yom Kippur Misa. The first day of the Avelus will be also Rabbana. Okay, they give a different answer. So it's either both Yom Rishons are Daraisa, or everything is Rabbana, or we'll make everything Rabbana, etc. Oh. The Ramban in Taurus Adam and the Ran here give a different answer. They say, Yesh Koch Biad Chachamim Lakar davar min haTorah b'shev al taisa. Okay, meaning the you don't have to do the dini avelos, even though it's daraisa, because the chomer oker because all the shev al taisa. Oh, so the Ran says, listen to this. The Ran says, but if that's true, then it's only going to apply to the dinim of avelos that are really b'shev al taisa. Right, but the dini of avelus that you know that would be considered violations, right? That you would violate, you would do them, right? That you would not. You can refrain from the things that you're supposed to do as an avel, but you can't do things as an avel that you're not allowed to do. Oh, let's see if I can find the line. Here, look on. One second. Look on page Aleph Amud Beis in the Daf Arif. Aleph Amud Beis in the Daf Arif, where it says, "V'noeg shivus me'mishnah v'yachak noeg zayin me'avelus." Hiksha Ramban. Everybody have it? L'das ha'gaon she'omer she'kovar smeis of regal alfa b'shin. One second.
The one before that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. The one Umei Saviv Shal Chasan. Yeah. Bim Tomar, Hayom Miso Kvur Mechai Bavelus Doraisa, Kefi Svaras Agaonim, Vikim Chikain, Hechi Osi Simcha Simei Mishra, Shenel Medrabana, Vedach Avelus Doraisa. Right? How could you thrust aside a daraisa with a drabanan? Lav kusha, de bezdin masnin lakar davar minatar b'shev al taisa. That's the answer the Ramban gives in Taurus Adam. Period. I mean, he elaborates a little more. The Ran now adds the following. Ulafizeh, like let's flesh out the implications of this. Eino roi lihisasek bedvarim shel simcha kalos hayom. Right? He's not allowed to do any simcha in these days. Elish eino chayev lasos maisa shel avelus. Right? He has to be kind of in limbo. Can't do anything too happy. Just doesn't have to do things that are saddening. Vahainu sheval taisa. However, so then you have to figure out in dine avelus, what's a kuvase, what's a sheval taisa. The Ramban made no such qualification. The Ramban makes it seem that when you say Yesh koch b'ad chachamim lakar davar min haTorah b'shev al taisa, it wipes away the whole problem. There are no dine avelus, and there are no restrictions on your dine simcha. Unlike the Ran, who's saying you have to walk a tightrope. Now the Ran seems correct, because aren't we saying it's only b'shev al taisa? However, if we accept the Rav's suggestion in the Rambam, which is that what looks like isurei avera, avelus, right, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do the next thing, it's all a matter of perspective. Those really aren't prohibitions. Those are not things that you're not allowed to do. Right? It's what you, they're kiyumim, they're just expressions of aninus belev. So when you, it's not that you're not allowed to, say, ask She'ela Shalom. You're not allowed to learn Torah. You're not allowed to, sit high, right? The idea is that these are all methods, all mechanisms that you are supposed to actually do in order to demonstrate your sense of avelus. If you look at it that way, so we say Yesh koch b'ad chachamim lakar davar min haTorah. The sheval taisa is you don't have to do any of the demonstrations. Oh, there are no limits. That's what all the dinei avelos are. You don't have to refrain from learning Torah. You don't have to refrain from she'elas shalom, because when you're doing those are refraining. The refraining is an action. It's not that you're not allowed to learn. Right? So then, sasa. I believe that's what's going on. What?
It's a low sasa.
What I'm saying, the opposite. Yeah. It's all a kind of kiyum, it's all a positive expression of avail. It's like a kiyum asay, in a way. So, in other words, it's not prohibited to say hello to someone when you're an avail. You're obligated to express your avelus by refraining from greeting him. Now that sounds like a small difference in formulation, but it's huge. These are nihugim. They're practices. They're not prohibitions. Some of them take the form of refraining, altering our normal behavior. But it's not because our normal behavior is prohibited. It's because in altering our normal behavior, sometimes passively, sometimes actively, we're able to give physical expression to our emotional state. Right? But if the halacha is that yesh koch b'ad chacham, we don't need to give these physical expressions to that emotional state, on these circumstances of chasan avel, right? So then even what looks like kumvaseh is permitted. Because it's really on a more fundamental level, Shev Al Tasa. Okay, so we're going to stop here. That's enough for a chasan. There's a lot more to talk about, but unfortunately or fortunately, we're going to go on to the next topic, which is Shabbos next week. Hey, I'm with Beis.